Good morning, everybody. It is a good morning, and can you believe it's September 3rd? I know I say this after the end of each month, but time goes so fast, especially when you're having a blessed life. Lord is so good to all of us, isn't he? But especially to me, for I have the joy and the privilege to bring you a message from God's Word. I realize more every day how important it is to read God's Word and to study it, and then share its truths with others. That's what the world really needs, and I'm sure if you read your Bible, you'd say amen to that. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? We have so many wonderful men of God who share with you the word as you listen to WWIB. So check your monthly copy of our publication, update, and see the names and the times of their being on the air. Well, let me, from memory, give you some examples. Greg Laurie, wonderful evangelist, reached many, many souls. And oh, Chuck Swindoll's been with us all these years. He's so good and so faithful. And then there's Dr. J.D. Greer. How about him? So wonderful, a young person. Dr. Mark Jobe, just to name a few. I could go on and on. Yes, we are blessed to have these men of God share the message of the gospel. Well, today my verse is John 3:16. It's known as the gospel in a nutshell. Why don't you say it with me? Okay, let's go for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, today I want to visit with you about the meaning of the parable of the 10 virgins. I've just completed the parable of the marriage feast, and so it's natural for me to follow that with the parable of the 10 virgins. First, let me read that parable. It's short, and it's found over in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read today the New International Version. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. Let's see. They took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. I have my Bible open in front of me. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but didn't take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came, and they said, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Yes, the Lord is coming back, and I expect him every day. You know how I have proof that he's coming? I'm going to quickly turn in my Bible over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's what it says. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Wow. I look for him every day, don't you? Well, we learn from the meaning of these words of our Savior that the bridegroom is Jesus and that his parable describes his return. Both the Old Testament, Isaiah 62:5 says, "For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." And here's another good reference, Hosea 2:19. "I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy." And the New Testament gives us John 3, and John the Baptist said this, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom that stands and hears him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled." Matthew 9:15 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." These verses that I read to you represent the Messiah as the bridegroom. Both God's people Israel and the church are described in the scriptures as the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5 compares the married life of the Spirit-filled believers as illustrating Christ and his church. Well, the historical setting is describing a first century Jewish wedding. Normally, the bridegroom with some of his close friends would leave his home to go to the bride's home, and that where the various ceremonies were performed. And this would be followed by a procession through the streets. And by the way, it would be after nightfall, and they would go to his home. The 10 virgins probably would be bridesmaids who have been assisting the bride, and they expect to meet the groom as he comes from the bride's house. Everyone in the procession was expected to carry his own torch. those without a torch would be assumed to be party crashers. The festivities, which would last 7 days, would formally get underway at the groom's house. And by the way, the torch was either a lamp with a small oil tank and a wick, or a stick with a rag soaked in oil on the end of it. And that would require re-soaking with oil in order to keep that flame going. So when the scriptures refer to oil, we know that oil is spoken of as a symbol of the Spirit of God. Five of the virgins were foolish, or maybe we should call them phonies. The five wise virgins were believers and possessed the Holy Spirit. The foolish virgins were non-believers. Romans 8 and 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Well, the truth is, each person must obtain their own supply of oil. You see, it is a personal choice of salvation. It's free, but you have to want it, you have to seek it, and you have to find it. The foolish virgins went to the wise virgins trying to get them to share their oil. The problem with this was that the wise were unable to do this. All they could do was point the way to those who could. So they said, "Go to the sellers." And that is symbolic of all who are sharing the gospel. All we could do is share the gospel, tell others where to go to find Jesus. Isaiah said it like this: "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come to the waters. Come and buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." And then it went on to say, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Being ready for Christ's return involves a choice that we have made to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, or to reject him. We must be born again through the saving faith in Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. So if we've repented and accepted Christ, we will show it in our lives. Titus 2 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all sin and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The fruit of the Spirit will show, and there will be a desire from each heart to be holy like Jesus, for he is holy." The five virgins who have the extra oil represent the truly born again who are looking with great joy and excitement for the coming of Christ. They have the blessed hope and are willing to wait for soon or long, whatever time, and serve the Lord. The five virgins without the oil represent false believers who enjoy the benefits of the Christian community, but do not have a true love for Christ. They're concerned about fun time and benefits that they are seeing from the church. The truth of the matter is, one person's faith in Jesus cannot save the other. The five virgins who failed to make sure they had enough oil needed Jesus in their heart. It's one thing to know about Jesus, but it's another to have a personal relationship with him. Christianity is not a party. It's a dedicated life for Christ. Well, I want to make sure my lamp is full and I have extra oil of the Word of God as I grow daily in His grace and await that beautiful promise of His return. Don't you? I pray that you do too. God bless you and goodbye.